Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church. Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania. We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us. Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Welcome to our service here at Gaiman Mennonite Church. It's such a gorgeous, gorgeous Sunday morning. Phil's focus this morning is going to be on praise in the sermon. So I'd like to start off by actually reading Psalm 100 to just help prepare our minds for this morning's service. Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. I invite you to stand this morning as we begin singing. And we're singing actually two hymns this morning, number 4 in the Mennonite hymnal. Number 4, Come Thou Almighty King.
Mission this moment this morning, I've chosen to show the highlights from our Bible school, which was a week or so ago. For those of you who don't have children anymore or those who didn't make it, this is what happened. Thanks.
In my wrestling. failures you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. My lighthouse, my lighthouse.
One thing I'd like to mention is the week was a rainy week. It rained before and after Bible school, but for the most part we didn't have rain during Bible school. There was one night that it rained a little bit, but it didn't really affect anything. So thanks to God for giving us good weather.
And Daryl, thanks for sharing that with us. We invite the ushers to come forward this morning. You notice at the bottom of the first page in the bulletin, this month's offerings are going towards our role in the Freedom Gate ministry and our groceries for the men in the Freedom Gate house and other budget items. Let's ask the Lord to bless this morning's offering. Father, once again, we come before you and thank you for such a beautiful morning to start out this day we call the Lord's Day, day of rest, a day of worship, celebration, fellowship together around your word, around the blessings that you pour on us every day. Father, I pray you would bless the offerings given back to you this morning. Help us see them. We're putting them back in your hands to be used in your kingdom here globally, as we saw, or locally as we saw here with the Bible school, but also globally through your work around the world. I pray for the Freedom Gate Ministry, Father, in our role. I pray you would bless that ministry of the men who are returning to free life, so to speak, coming out of prison. I pray you would bless those who work with them and minister them and help them in this transition. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to our service here. Thank you to the worship team for leading us in that time of singing. I'd invite you to pray with me now. Lord, thank you so much for your great love for us that we just sang about. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to make a way for us to be forgiven of our sins. Thank you that you, Jesus, rose from the dead and conquered death. And because of that, we have the hope and promise of eternal life with you when we die. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the freedom we have to worship you together, to be encouraged through your word, the Bible, and to encourage one another. I pray that you would bless this time and you would be honored and glorified here today. In Jesus' name, amen. I do welcome each of you, and I know there are several visitors among us, and we're just going to take a time to stand and greet the people around us and invite you to feel free to reach out and greet somebody who you might not normally say hello to. So please stand and greet one another. It was 6 a.m. on a Friday morning, not too long ago, probably a little before 6 a.m. 10 men had gathered, I was one of them, at a separate location that we had drove to, all for the same purpose. Most of us had given up a little sleep to come early on a Friday morning, and there we were. All with the same purpose in mind, and we had all forgotten the same thing. We had gathered to play basketball early in the morning. No one brought a basketball. The one who usually came and had the basketball wasn't there that morning. Thankfully, eventually we were at a school and we found a janitor who was able to unlock a closet and we had a basketball. The title of the message is Unbroken Praise. And that title comes from a song that we will try to sing at the end of our service today. And it's kind of a theme that we'd like to think about for the month of August. unbroken praise is speaking about and talking about this idea that we come to church and we sing, we praise God with our songs and with our voices, and then what we don't want to happen is that the way we live or our lives or our actions are different from what happens on a Sunday morning and singing. We don't want that message to be broken. We want it to be consistent. We want our lives to be consistent. We want to walk the walk that we are singing about. That's what the phrase unbroken praise is implying. So the basketball story, we were all missing a key ingredient, a key component, this basketball. And sometimes maybe in our lives, we forget the whole main point of our lives, the greatest commandment, to love God with all our heart and to love other people. And that's our main point. That's our main goal. And sometimes we forget that or we miss that. Were you ever missing a key ingredient in some cooking? Missing an important tool on some job? You got there and I needed that. Or you forgot the whatever. That's what this is speaking about. If you have a Bible, I'd invite you to open to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And there are Bibles in the pews if you don't have one also. We'll be focusing on verses 14 to 26. James chapter 2, 14 to 26. And I'm going to read from the New International Reader's Version. Suppose a person claims to have faith, but doesn't act on their faith. My brothers and sisters, can this kind of faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister has no clothes or food. Suppose one of you says to them, "Go, I hope everything turns out fine for you. Keep warm, eat well." And suppose you do nothing about what they really need. Then what good have you done? It is the same with our faith. If it doesn't cause us to do something, it's dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I do good deeds." Show me your faith that doesn't cause you to do good deeds, and I will show you my faith by the good deeds I do. I'll stop there. When we think about learning from Scripture, it's important to try to take all of Scripture together, and from our perspective, we try to read Scripture through the eyes of Jesus. So we understand that He's spoken to us through His Word, and then He sent His Son Jesus. So we see not only the written Word, but we see how Jesus lived out His life. That's how I was taught to interpret Scripture. So we have this balance of James is sometimes on one end of saved by faith and saved by works, or the importance of those two things, and both of them need to be involved. And this phrase in verse 14 speaks to that. Can this kind of faith save them? So if a person says they have faith, but it doesn't actually change what they do, if I say I'm a Christian, but it doesn't, I live just like everybody else, or I sing songs to God on Sunday, and then I treat my wife poorly, or I treat my coworkers poorly on Monday through Friday or whatever, then it doesn't match up. And I think that's what that question is in verse 14. Can this kind of faith save them? I think it's implying that a true faith is going to show up in our actions. Maybe at this point, I picked verse 18 to be our theme verse for this month. So if you have your bulletin, let's read that together right there, James 2. Together. Show me your faith that doesn't cause you to do good deeds, and I will show you my faith by the good deeds I do. It's from James 2:18. And one of the phrases in the song that we'll try to sing here at the end says, let my deeds outrun my words. And I think that's a good goal for all of us. Let our deeds outrun our words. Picking it up here in James 2 with 9 to 24. This is speaking about Abraham. 19 to 24. You believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that, and they tremble. You foolish person, do you want proof that faith without good deeds is useless? Our father Abraham offered his son Isaac on the altar. Wasn't he considered to be right with God because of what he did? You see that what he believed and what he did were working together. What he did made his faith complete. That is what Scripture means, where it says Abraham believed God. God accepted Abraham because he believed. His faith made him right with God. And that's not all. God called Abraham his friend. So you see that a person is considered right with God by what they do. It doesn't only happen because they believe. So the key verse I see there is in 22, it says, what he did made his faith complete. His faith and his actions were working together. What he did made his faith complete. Then it speaks, I'd like to look just briefly at Abraham and this story that he's talking about. So that takes place in Genesis 22. If you want to turn there, you can. So God had called Abraham to do something very unusual. They were familiar with sacrificing to God, sacrificing a lamb, and he asked him to sacrifice his son. Something unheard of. But Abraham, we learn, reasoned that God would provide a lamb and that this would somehow work out. And he trusts him. And in Genesis 22, he tells his other servants to stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and we will come back to you. So he's confident that he and his son Isaac are going to come back. And then, can you imagine being Abraham when his son asks him this? Son says, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answers, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Abraham does go on to the point of tying up his son, laying him on the altar, and I think I've spoken about this before. I'm not sure. I would think there must have been some willingness on the part of his son as well, that he didn't run away or didn't seem. We didn't see this spelled out in Scripture, but we don't see him fighting his father. He's laying there on the altar, and Abraham raises his knife to kill him, and God stops him and says to not hurt him. He said, now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And that picture becomes a picture of what Jesus did for us, what God did for us in allowing His Son Jesus to be sacrificed for us, to be that lamb. But we remember Abraham because he goes through with that. And he's willing to do it because of his actions. He obeys God. And back in James, then it gives the example of Rahab. So in James 25 and 22, James chapter 2, verse 25 and 26, he says, "Didn't God consider Rahab the prostitute to be right with Him because of what she did for the spies? She gave them a place to stay. Then she sent them off in a distant direction. A person's body without their spirit is dead. In the same way, faith without good deeds is dead." So a key line in that scripture, I think, is, didn't God consider even Rahab the prostitute to be right with Him? It's because of what she did for the spies. Because of what she did. And again, let's look briefly at that story that he's referencing. This is in Joshua chapter 2. The story of Rahab. So God had led them to take over this these people, and the spies were sent to the city, and Rahab secretly protects them, and she says something important in verse 9. And she said to them, "I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you." And then down a bit in verse 11, she gives a testimony of faith. "For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." And she keeps the spies safe. And then when it's safe, she tells them to go up into the mountains, stay there for a little, and then go back. And they promise to, she asks for protection then, they promise to protect her when they will attack the city, and to put a scarlet thread or scarlet rope out their windows so they know where her family is. And the rest of that city gets destroyed, but it comes to pass, and they protect her and they save her. So what about you and I? What about us? Do your actions, do my actions agree with what I sing on a Sunday morning? For we are God's handiwork. You are God's handiwork. You're His special creation. You're His masterpiece. Why or what has He created us for? Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. To do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. I think that's pretty cool that God has in mind good stuff for you and you and you. He's prepared it. When we wake up in the morning, I wonder what God has prepared for me today. You ever thought that? I wonder what God, what good works God has prepared for me today. We're His handiwork, created to do good works, which God prepared in advance. That's His part. He's prepared them, but then we have to do them. We are created to do good works prepared by God. So if I sum these thoughts up from James 2. True faith shows in the good deeds I do. What I do makes my faith complete. I can say something, but it really, someone really believes it when they see it lived out. And I'm created to do good works prepared by God. Unbroken praise. May the expression of our worship not be broken by a life that doesn't match up. This song that we're going to sing after we have our prayer and share time, and we'll use this song as our closing song and our benediction. But it's written by Matt Redman, and it might have been another songwriter also. But he says this about this song. It's not a complicated song, and the part he loves the most is the lines towards the end of the song that say, "So let my deeds outrun my words, let my life outweigh my songs." Which is a significant thing to say from a songwriter. Let my life outweigh my songs. These are still his words. That's what worship's all about. We can sing our songs of praise to God, and I'm sure He loves that. But at the end of the day, we've got to complete the integrity of our worship with a life laid down. So this song's all about bringing God your very best offering. So when we sing these words, unbroken praise, it's talking about a faith that shows up in our actions. We want to sing about it, but I don't want to just sing about it. I want to walk the walk. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You so much for Your love for us. Thank You that You have prepared good works in advance for us. This is not a message that is unfamiliar. We know that we are to do good things. We know that we are to live a life that pleases You. Help us to follow through with that. To be consistent. To be like this road that keeps going in the same direction. That our lives may say the same things that our words say and that our praise says. Help us, Lord, in that. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to have our prayer and share time, but right before our prayer and share time, I have something for the children. So if any of the children want to come up front, just real quickly, a little demonstration of this. This will be pretty brief, guys, but I need a volunteer. Volunteer? Volunteer. All right, Mark, come up here. All right, you want to play ball with me? Play some catch? See if that glove works. All right. Ready to go? We're missing something. A ball. I think I forgot the ball. Okay, well, here, I got some work to do anyway. Here, I need to drill this, a hole in this little stick here. Think you could drill a hole for me here? Mm-hmm. Go ahead, right there. We don't want to mess that right there. Go ahead. What am I missing?
Battery.
The battery. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I got some other... We should really water some of these plants up here. You want to... Yeah, see if you can water them. What's the problem? What's wrong?
Water. There's no more water.
Oh, man. Okay, you can sit down. That was real helpful. So so in all those things we were missing something. And that's kind of what I was trying to talk about today. When you come to church and you say, Jesus loves me, and then you go home and your sister says, can I play with your toy? And you say, no! Those things don't match up. It's like trying to play ball without a ball. Or when you are at church and you pray, thank you, Lord. And then you go home and your mom or dad says, could you please help set the table for lunch? And you say, no! It doesn't match up. It's not going to work. It's like a hose that's not connected. It's like a drill without a battery. It just doesn't work. So we wanna be true with what we say, with what we do. Okay? You can go back. This is our prayer and share time now. If there's something you'd like to share, you can raise your hand and they'll bring a microphone.
Okay, this month is again when we support Freedom Gate, and I brought my own sermon illustration because I don't have a list. I have not been able to make contact with anybody at Freedom Gate, so I have a little bit of a dilemma. Tuesday we'll plan to go there, but I don't have a list to get the groceries, and I'm not even sure that they're going to be ready for us as far as having Bible studies. So I'm going to go there tomorrow and try to actually knock on the door and make contact with somebody. So we'll see how that goes. Anybody that's planning to go, and I would also need somebody willing to shop on Tuesday because I won't have a list until then. But if you're willing to do that, please let me know sometime during the fellowship meal or whatever, and we'll see how it works out.
This is Kelly. Michelle Fry had contacted me this morning that she just asked that we would pray for her brother who's having an emergency surgery on the top of his spine this morning. He lives in Columbus, Ohio, and he lives by himself. So Michelle is currently driving to Columbus, Ohio, taking her mother out there so her mother can be with him after the surgery. So you could pray for their trip and also for her brother's surgery. And I don't know his first name.
Hi, this is Sandy. I just want to let you know that our prayer's been answered. I found a place to live. It's a very nice place. It's a personal care home, and it's in Willow Street. So I just want to thank you all for your prayers, and still keep me in your prayers, because this is just a stepping stone. I'm still fighting my way back. And remember my children, my grandbabies. Thank you.
Hello, it's Lester. My cousin Charles lives in Ohio, was in a tractor accident the other day. Tractor rolled over, has several broken bones, and I'm not sure what all else, but we could pray for him for healing.
We have the Chinese English camp going on right now. We'd appreciate your prayers for that. And I think it's going well. Special welcome to Johnson. Special welcome to Carrie. Yes, but your prayers would be appreciated. Okay, I'll pray and then I'll invite the worship team to come up after that. Father, thank you for your love for us. We come before you and pray and ask about these things and ask for your help because you invite us to cast our cares on you because you care for us. I pray for Freedom Gate and this month as we have opportunity to share with them in gifts of food and Bible study. I pray for that. I pray for Steve as he coordinates that and all the uncertainties of it here with not having communication. Pray that you would work all the logistics out for that and you provide the help needed, and pray that we would be able to be a blessing to help point the men in the right direction as they try to rebuild their lives after prison. We pray for Michelle Fry and her brother and this surgery. I pray for his healing. I pray that it would work out just as you want. I pray that you would bless their travels out there and pray that he would know you and experience your presence during this time. Thank you for providing a place for Sandy to live, and I pray that you would bless her in that transition and that it would be a great fit for her needs. We pray for Lester's cousin Charles in this tractor accident, and we ask for healing for him in the name of Jesus. And Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to share a meal together today. We thank you for providing food for us. Help us remember as we go from this place to let our lives show our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Song, and maybe you could stand. Thank you.